Good morning and God bless you. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Got a great teaching for a great new year, 2020. Let's start it with 2020 vision. Perfect vision by keeping our focus on Jesus and letting Him guide our steps every single day. One heart, one mind, right? Can I get an amen? And so today we're going to talk about change. There are three basic kinds of change in the world. Number one, the good kind, where God directs the change. Number two, I call the crapshoot. It may come up snake eyes, and that's where you direct yourself without guidance from the Holy Spirit. Number three, the really bad kind, that comes from Satan and enters into your orbit. And today we're going to touch on all three. But let's begin in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 16. This is what the Lord says, so you might want to listen up. He who makes a way through the sea, just think about that for a second, and a path through the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Let go of yesterday, but learn the lessons. That's the gift. Even when we mess up, do a bad thing, we have the gift of the lesson. Verses 18 and 19, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? God's going to do His thing whether we pay attention or not. But it's a whole lot better for us if we get on the God train. Because He's the one who can even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So He said, don't remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. It doesn't mean don't ever think about them. It just means don't let them bring you down. Learn the lessons. The only thing good about the past are the lessons. And yes, there are some fun times that you can rejoice in, but I'm talking about the mistakes. Learn the lessons. Move on. Don't repeat them. And He tells us to listen carefully because He's going to do a new thing. And it's going to happen. It's going to spring forth, but will you be aware of it? And through that whole thing, He kind of wraps it in a sandwich, like a sandwich wrap. Remember who I am. I'm the one who can make the road in the wilderness. I'm the one who can make rivers in the desert. He is the great I am. God can and will do anything He wants. Duh! The question is, will you and I be part of His plan? Because change is inevitable, so let's change for the better. Only a fool thinks he can do what he's always done, because change is gonna happen to us all. I love the January 1st Jesus calling. Come to me with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with me is a life of continual newness. Are we seeing a pattern here? Do not cling to the old ways as you step into a new year. Instead, seek my face. Focus on Him with an open mind, knowing that your journey with me involves transformation. Sounds like Isaiah 43 to me. Jesus calling, my thoughts embrace you in everlasting love. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Give yourself fully to this adventure of increasing attentiveness to my presence. Folks, change number one, godly change, is great. Then God can do His new things as they come on the horizon, and we can embrace it. This is the path of Christ. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus gave this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old, rotten garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. Papa cannot do a new thing in you if you're still hanging on to the old thing. That's holding you back. And often this new thing includes of letting go of old attitudes. Old attitudes that don't serve us, that don't serve God, and feelings. And to receive new godly attitudes, beliefs, trusting in Him deeper and deeper. But there are also people in your life, or jobs or situations that may change, that were right for a time, but when God is calling you to change and you know it in your knower, it's a new season, it's time to move on. For some of us, a new thing would be to finally love ourselves with the love of God, to accept our heavenly birthright, to let go. Remember, you got to let go of the old, of self-condemnation. And the new thing would just be to believe who they are in Christ. That's the best new thing I've ever done. A new way of thinking about me. Metanoeo! A paradigm shift. You know what, though? The opposite end of the spectrum, and there always is. A new thing for others might be staying right where you are because it's not time to move on. I know a lot of people who quit something when they get bored or tired, or they run off half-cocked and never ask God, is this your will? And they never complete what God wanted them to do where they were in the first place. If God is showing you a new thing, He'll show you the next step, not a blank canvas. He may not show you the whole picture, but He'll show you the next step. That's why I have at least two or three trusted friends, counselors, that I can bounce things off of. See, here's the deal, folks. We are very self-protective. The mind is designed to protect itself. And the bottom line is we all are right in our own eyes until we humble ourselves under the hand of God. But Proverbs 19 says, nevertheless, it's the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. And another place in Proverbs, it says, in a multitude of counselors, there's what? Safety. And especially when I'm making decisions in an area I know that has been a past weakness, or perhaps a present weakness. I have those too. That's why we have to let go of the old thing we're holding on to before God can replace it with a new thing. You may have to let go of confessing, I just hate this job, before God can show you the new one. Maybe He's teaching you patience. Maybe there's someone there He wants you to witness to. That's why we need the Lord's direction. And I heard somebody ask this question the other day, how many people are resistant to change? Well, too bad, because change happens. So you may as well embrace it. And like Isaiah, I invite you to listen carefully. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm not going to read all these, I'm just going to hit on some. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse 6. A time to get and a time to lose or loose, let go. A time to keep and a time to throw away. This used to profit me. This is not working in my life anymore. You 86 it. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. Sometimes we have to hate what God hates, even if it's a bad pattern in ourselves, and let it go. Realize it's not serving us. A time of war and a time of peace. Some of these things are under our control, but most of them are not. But still, to everything there's a season. And there are seasons in our lives, and we need to embrace them since they are all part of the whole. They're all important, but no matter the season, it is always the time to trust Jesus and follow His guidance. There's nothing worse than hanging on to something the Lord is calling you to move on from, whether it be your fears and insecurities to major life changes. You may have to let go of some friends that are negative all the time. Things may shift in your family dynamics. Or God may ask you to move to a different job or a different ministry. You know, give you a new ministry, not just teaching anymore, but perhaps pastoring or evangelizing. When God wants to do a new thing, here's the deal, folks. Here's how it works. It's real simple. He wants us to use our free will to do His will. But you know what? He's never, ever, ever going to force us. We have to make the choice. Go to Luke chapter 5, please. One afternoon, Jesus was a-preaching, and the Sea of Galilee has a place that's kind of like an amphitheater, and he wanted to push out from the shore in Peter's boat. And Peter, I guess, was okay with that, but he wasn't real happy because he'd been fishing the night before and caught nothing. So Jesus pushed out from the shore and it amplified his voice so everybody on the hill could hear him preach. And this is something to always remember. You can never outgive Jesus. You can never outgive God. Whatever you ever give up or give in your life, God is going to bless you back 100-fold unless you put on your foot on the hose and just say you don't believe Him. God's desire is to bless you back 30, 60, 100-fold. So Jesus wanted to bless Peter after a night of fishing when he caught nothing. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, now when Jesus had finished speaking, He said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep." And boy, that's what that new thing is a lot of times. It's like jumping in the deep end of the pool and not sure if you can swim. Trusting on God to keep you afloat. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draft. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word." I mean, how many of us talk to God like this? "I'm guilty, and I'm ashamed to say it." "Well, Papa, I don't know if you can pull this one off, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Was that really obedience? No. Jesus said nets. And you can just hear Peter's pouty, immature voice in that statement. But what a great truth. Even in that messed up state of heart, he still said, "At thy word." That's how you know God doesn't work with the perfect. He works with the willing. He didn't do it with a good attitude at first, but boy, did his attitude change. And when Peter sort of obeyed the Lord's command, he caught so many fish that the net broke. Well, if he'd had nets, he wouldn't have had a broken net. McFly! You know, when you get the revelation, don't stick your toe in the water. Jump in with gusto and do the whole thing. And after that happened, you know, "Oh, Peter's, oh, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Yeah. How many blessings have you missed in life because you were afraid to launch out into the deep at His word? I don't even want to think about it. You know, when we listen and obey, the heavenly hall can be Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. But first, you got to trust. And I have a plaque in my office that says you'll never discover new lands unless you are willing to lose sight of the shore. Love runs risks. God has told me to do things that are some of the craziest things in the natural realm you could ever concoct. But when I have obeyed His voice, the payoff has always been there. So folks, new things, change is natural. So learn to get comfortable with change and with growth. You know what they do? They open up opportunities to grow up in Christ and get off the milk. To cut your teeth on some meat in life. I spent the first part of my adult life doing the ministry part-time and art full-time. You know, I was convinced I was called to be a great painter. I could see myself in my studio with my little beret and my palette of oils. And I saw myself as kind of a cross between Michelangelo and Norman Rockwell. That's kind of weird. Then one day the Lord said, you know, people say if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Peg, it's time to start a church. I did the Scooby-Doo. I looked behind me to see who he was talking to, but since I was the only one in the room, it had to be me. And you know what I did? I jumped in on the deep end of the pool at his word. And the church started, and the church started thriving. And then I thought, okay, maybe God's calling me to be an awesome teacher. And one day, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to get much more involved in counseling. Now listen, this was about 25 years ago, and I still had not really changed all that much from the old Peg. And I said, Lord, you know I'm not a people person. Some days I'm not even sure I like people. But like old Peter, I said, at your word, here I am, send me. And the next thing I knew, I had this marshmallow heart. And I wondered, where on earth did this come from? Well, obviously it didn't come from earth. It came from heaven. But because I was willing to be a vessel, even a reluctant one, and let Father do his good work in me any way he chose, his will came to pass. And you know what? Now I'm a pretty good counselor. Maybe some of you can attest to that. But the wildest new thing was when he told me I was supposed to write a book. And the book part wasn't the part that freaked me out. I was going to have to put my deepest, darkest, dirty laundry out there for the whole world to see. I saw the light, but he saw me first. But the intimacy of the personal details he wanted me to share absolutely terrified me. That was so totally outside of my wheelhouse. As much as I hate snakes, I would rather somebody handed me a snake. You know, I was so far out of my comfort zone, there was no way I could see the shore of comfort zone anymore. It was way out there. But I obeyed, and now that book has touched hundreds of lives. I mean, there's so many people that contact me every day by Facebook, by email. You guys have no idea how this book has reached all the way around the world. It's crazy. Good crazy, God crazy, good thing. And that's why change is a great thing. And I've just pointed out, it's not always easy. But if it is of God, oh, man, it is exciting beyond your wildest imagination. And it fills you with joy unspeakable and a sense of personal satisfaction that you will never get trying to steer your own ship. You don't have it in you to know these things. And you know, those people who refuse to get out of their comfort zone, I feel so sorry for them because they will never have the pleasure of experiencing what it feels like to be a fellow worker with God and reap the success. Success is a beautiful word. And I was talking with Judy Dexter the other day about Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. And I'm pretty sure Mary was like totally freaked out when the angel Gabriel just boop, popped up in her life and said, hey, Mary, God wants to create a baby inside of you. Create a baby inside of you. It's the Messiah, but you're not even married. I'd call that a new thing. And I think Mary's mind probably did the seven-way stretch. But this young teenage woman, 14 or 15 years old, simply replied, oh, and this just, boy, God, give me this heart. Give me this heart, Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Give me this heart, Lord. Give everybody hearing this, this heart. Be it unto me according to thy word. All the way from you are healed to let go of this anxiety, to do this thing next. Whatever it is, be it unto me according to thy word. And that's not boastful talking, that's believing. And you know what Mary did, boy? She took action. She had skin in the game big time. In her culture, she could have easily been stoned to death for adultery. But oh my goodness gracious, look at the payoff, payoff, payoff for her obedience, the success. She brought the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, into the world who came to give life to whosoever would believe on him. And her loving response to this new thing has changed every single one of our lives. For the better, I might add. Thank you, Mary, for being willing to go out into the deep. Mary discovered new lands because she was willing to lose sight of the shore. You know, God says he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. So we haven't even thought of the new things he wants to do in our life. And he has sure carried me places I never dreamed of. You know what? You know, God has literally paid. I mean, provided the ticket, provided the money, paid my way to Jerusalem for 2 weeks, to Europe. So I got to see all the major galleries in Europe for a month, to Hawaii for 2 weeks, and so many other things across the United States, because when he spoke to me, I simply believed. He wanted to bring favor into my life. He wanted to do this good thing, that he wanted to spoil me and answer lifelong dreams in my heart. I didn't beg for any of these things. He just gave them to me. But even more importantly than those physical things, on the spiritual plane, God has taught me a new thing. You know, how to come right smack into his throne room, boldly, anytime. Man, oh man, what a thing. But if I decide to stay in the old season, when God is prompting me to receive a new thing, I'm the one who's going to miss the blessing he has already prepared for me. I'm the one who's going to miss the boat. That's why obedience is so doggone cool. And you know what obedience is, folks? It's a learned habit. It's a learned habit. But you know what else? Why you need to learn obedience? It is so absolutely silly to think that you or I can not do what God is telling us to do and everything's going to work out all right. Honey, I can tell you this from experience. I've told you about some of my triumphs, but I can tell you from experience, when you turn your back on God, calamity results. There was something God was telling me to do for years and I ignored him, and boom, it just blew up like dynamite in my face this year. Yep, because I didn't heed his advice. And the other thing, if God's calling you to do something and you respond with whining, oh, please, I have a cap that says no whining. You know, when I was so sick in my mid-40s and I couldn't walk and I was in a wheelchair, I didn't wear it in public. I wore it in private, so I saw it every day. A big hat, my cap said no whining. I was in pain from my head to my toes, and I just shut up, Peg. But when God tells you to do a new thing, we say, well, that's just too hard. Or even worse, I don't want to change. Oh, what an offense to God. Well, that's your call, but you'll never know the blessing that you missed. I sat around, I was wondering the other day, you know, Jesus is coming back. And my belief is God has blessings stored up for us in heaven that each of us have a storeroom of blessings waiting for us to take. And I was praying the other day and said, God, when I get resurrected and go to my storeroom, I don't want to see all of my blessings that I didn't receive here on earth left in the unclaimed department. Boy, I hope my heavenly storehouse is empty, because I want to receive all the good things you want to give me in this life on earth, and I want to do all the good works you've asked me to do in this earth. Don't you guys? You know, it's a circle of love. He gives to us. He blesses us. He wants us to bless others. And if that's the way you want to live in that cycle of love, then this teaching's for you, baby. It's got your name on it. And so if you feel godly change is coming, the first thing you need to do is change your mind about change. If God shows you something, don't sit there and dwell on how hard it's going to be. Ask God to show you the way. Have confidence in His leadership and be filled with joy. You know why? Because the Bible says there's joy and peace in believing. People say, well, how can I know I'm believing God? I've said this over and over, because when you don't have joy and peace, you're not believing. When you've got joy and peace about something, you're believing. It's pretty simple. I don't think you need to be a rocket science. You just got to read the page. So decide to get with this program and trust Him. Don't fear it. Embrace it. And get ready for Jesus' new thing. You know, I have some old shoes. I even have some shoes that are 40 years old. I only wear them in the house because they are broken to pieces, but they're comfortable. But to really function in life, to be able to move about the cabin freely and get out in the world and be with people, I can't wear those. They don't really work. My big toe's hanging out. So I have to break in a new pair, but you know what? They do the job. They work. So here's the deal. We got to keep changing, because we get this idea of how we want God to do things in our life. Yeah, you got to really laugh at that. And God just says, nah, that's not how it works, kid. I'm large and in charge. I'm the potter. You're the clay. And it makes me think of that record in 2 Kings chapter 5. We don't have to go there. But Naaman, very powerful dude, second in command. I think it was in Syria. And he had leprosy, had a big, big need. You know, stage 4 cancer, had a big need. But he had his own idea. I mean, he'd been used to running things, running the show. He had his own idea of how he should be healed of leprosy. After all, he was the big dog. So before he even went to see the man of God, Naaman had already made up his mind exactly how his healing was going to take place. He had it all envisioned in his mind. The man of God would walk out. He would wave his hand over Naaman, woo, say some words, and poof, he'd be healed. Well, Naaman gets there, and the man of God doesn't even come out. He sends his servant, and his servant says, hey, go dunk in this dirty river, the Jordan. It was filthy, and you're going to be whole. And I don't know if you remember from the record, but Naaman was incensed. He said, aren't the Parfar and that other river back in Syria much cleaner? I mean, look at the resistance. And it was his little servant. This is what I call the conscience, the godly conscience that dwells in all of us in the midst of our insanity. The little serpent was the one says, what have you got to lose, basically? So Naaman went down to the river, dipped once, no change, dipped twice, no change, get to the 6th dip, no change, number 7. He came up with his skin as smooth as a baby because he did the will of the Lord. You know, doing the will of the Lord is not always smooth sailing. Sometimes we resist initially. But when we let go of our fear, our pride, or whatever holding us back, we get the result. That's God's part. And boy, did I have a chance to test that this year. It's kind of sad you can't have a testimony without a test, but I was put through my paces in 2019, and I tell you, there were quite a few times I thought, The book of Job's got nothing on me right now because the hitch just kept on coming and coming and coming. And I was literally deluged. You know what a deluge is? Yeah, when water's pouring all over you. With change. Some of it was welcome and others were absolutely shattering, dreadful. Right out of the chute. January 4th of 2019, my oldest and dearest friend Meryl passed away. Tore me up. 5 days later, my dog got his eye on a squirrel. He was on a leash, and he yanked me off the fifth step of my porch, tore up both of my kneecaps, tore all the ligaments in my left knee, a couple in my right knee, and took my palm down like somebody had laid him on a belt sander. When I finally got to the doctor, he called my legs major, major trauma. Major, major trauma. You think? I couldn't walk without crutches for months. And try doing that with no skin on your palms using crutches. Oh, and did I forget to tell you? I'm allergic to pain meds. So the best thing I could do was a leave every once in a while. And my Lord Jesus, just going to Him to relieve the pain. And the great thing is, I kept an upbeat attitude through all of this. I didn't let it overcome me. I could still speak in tongues. I could still pray. I could still teach. I could still get on the phone and do my job. And then in April, that same sweet little dog, little Jack Attack, God, I love that dog. He had the sweetest velvet ears. We took him to the vet one morning thinking he had a sprained back around 10:30, and by 3 p.m. he was dead. And some people say, well, that's just a pet. Well, you've never loved your pets because that's soul-crushing. You know, there I go again, crying for days over the loss of something that someone that, a little dog, but he really meant something to me. And finally, I'm kind of getting my sea legs back, and a month later, I was totally blindsided. I mean, you talk about getting T-boned when my marriage of 31 years came to a disastrous end. I was devastated. I was a puddle in the floor. I was totally not expecting this. And that next morning with puffy eyes and no sleep, crying all night, I said, Papa, how do I handle this without just losing it? And to my dismay, and that's what it was, I had a Naaman moment. To my dismay, you know what he said to me? And he said it so clear I couldn't miss it. He said, Peg, life is a classroom. Don't take this personally. Learn the lessons. And I mean, I screamed out in anguish. How can I not take this personally? I feel abandoned. I feel rejected. I feel unwanted. I feel like an old shoe cast by the side of the road. I need something more. You know, the man of God to come out and wave his hand over me. And you know what? The Lord just repeated, Peg, life is a classroom. Don't take this personally. Learn the lesson. And I just sat there and I just got made myself get quiet and dwell on what God had said. And, you know, I translated that into my vernacular and I realized God was saying, get your thumb out of your mouth. And put on your big girl pants and buckle up with the whole armor of God because you're in for one HE double hockey sticks of a ride. It's going to be a rough few months ahead of you. But you know what God reminded me of? Gosh, I think of John 14. You know, the Comforter is going to push up into our mind like a toaster, whatever we need to remember at that moment. And I could see like a huge bumper sticker, Peg, you can be pitiful. Or you can be powerful, but you cannot be both. Make a decision. Make up your mind right now. You're going to get through this with God's help. So I wrote those words. Life is a classroom. Don't take this personally. Learn the lessons in huge letters and put it on my wall. And boy, was God right. Go figure. Can you imagine God on Jeopardy? If he started 40 years ago, he'd still be the champion. Bottom line is, I needed to let go. I had to let go of the overwhelming feelings of loss and self-pity and low self-esteem so that I could take on the new thing. Because there are many godly emotions, and self-pity and low self-esteem are not among them. I had to really kind of step out of myself and become objective. So in order that I could get sober-minded, you know, I literally visualized myself stepping out of myself and saying, okay, Counselor Jesus, you're working through this other peg. What would you say to the peg who's sitting there broken to pieces? And then I had to take his advice. And I'm telling you something, folks, that testimony right there is worth tuning into this whole teaching. You got to let go of your fear, your self-pity, your low esteem, the past, the mistakes of yesterday, and get powerful. See yourself as a lion of Judah. Because you know what? It was only about 4 weeks later that my mentor and my closest confidant of 25 years, Reverend Ken Suddeth, had a massive stroke and passed away. And we had just had the most joyful healing talk 2 days before that. And yes, in the back of my mind, I thought, with Ken here, I can get through anything. I really did. I was counting on him. And boom, he's gone. And by the way, just to remind you, through all of this, I'm working on leading a Christian conference for the first time in 20 years. Somebody said to me, you're under attack because you're doing this conference. And you know what? I had to do a Jesus talking to Peter a moment. I had to take him to the woodshed and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because what kind of lie, with that kind of lie-based thinking, oh, if you try to do something good for God, your life's going to be attacked and you're going to fall to pieces. We're never going to do any great things for God. So you know what I did as soon as I got off that phone call, man? I got quiet. And I went to the source of truth, the fountain of living waters. And I said, God, I knew in my spirit that's a lie, a fiery dart from the devil, trying to blame this stuff on the fact that I'm putting together a conference. And you know what Papa said to me in the most loving, gentle voice I think I've ever heard? I could just feel him rocking me next to his chest. He said, Peg, I knew all these tragedies were heading your way. That's why I ask you to do a conference last November in 2018 for your sake, to keep you focused on my project, to keep you sane. And you know what? How many times have I said this in this teaching? God was right. That conference helped me stay focused on Him and my desire to help others helped me hold it together through one of the toughest periods of my entire life. And if you've read my book, I've had some pretty tough ones. So that's saying something. Folks, the battlefield is the mind. Life happens. But praise God, so does grace. And I thought 1,000 times during 2019, and I'm not letting it go for 2020, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. When I was leaving the One Heart, One Mind conference, I was on a Holy Spirit high. And just as I'm pulling out of the parking lot, my phone goes ding and I get a text. And here I am, full of spit and vinegar, feeling love and loved up and joyful. And I get a text that my beloved sister had just passed away. And maybe now you see why I call it my Job year. They just kept coming, and I wasn't finished yet. But I knew that Job got through his troubles the same way I would get through mine, focusing on the greatness of God, the love of God, and the power of the living God. I was really starting to think, when will it end? I was not the instigator of most of the events that happened in 2019, except for the One Heart, One Mind conference. And yet they all brought major change in my life. A lot of them, column number three, straight from the adversary. But they all gave me the opportunity to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I didn't choose most of these things, but I sure could learn. I could choose to learn the lesson from these things or crumble like a cheap $2 suitcase. I chose God's way. Good thinking, kiddo. Because the next month, in October, I had to call 911 and I had a police officer come to my home to protect me, and instead he marches into my kitchen, red-faced, screaming with spittle flying out of his mouth, threatening me with bodily harm. Talk about bizarro world, a world upside down. He wanted to handcuff me and take me to jail after I called him to protect me. Insane! I mean, when he left, when he came, I had 102 fever and I was in bed with the flu, and when he left, I came upstairs and I was in a fetal position shaking on my bedroom floor. And thank God, about that time I got a call, and my friend Katina drove 6.5 hours up here from Florida to help keep me glued together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Katina. Boy, did I need a friend. I mean, Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us, but people, there's no underestimating the power of the one body. Sometimes you just need a person to be there with you and tell you it's going to be okay. And boy, was she fit the bill. You know, in hindsight, I look back and I think if I hadn't had the One Heart, One Mind conference in the middle of all this, and hadn't developed the habit through the years of making myself continually press into Jesus, I really believe I would have had a nervous breakdown. And like I said, it was my season to embrace John 14 for real. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. See, these words were not rhetorical to me. They were my life's blood. But here I am, January 12th, 2020, and as Elton John sings, I'm still standing better than I was before. God still has His hands in my life as I move from strength to strength. And as I share all of this, I give glory to God because I, of myself, can do nothing. And I am so tremendously grateful for my Father. And Pego discovered new lands because she was willing to lose sight of the shore. And you know, I see clearly how that one act of obedience way back in November 2018 affected my whole year of 2019. I jumped in the deep end and said to God, I'll do a new thing. I was nervous about it. I was a little intimidated, but I jumped in anyway, and it probably saved my sanity. I'm just being real here, folks. I pretty much had several opportunities to completely come unglued last year. But you know what? Father does know best, and stuff happens. You know, it made me think of when I was about 7 years old, and I was a tiny, tiny child. I was always the smallest kid in my classroom. I was about as big as a bar of soap, and my daddy drove the boat to the middle of Lake Altoona, stopped the boat, picked me up, and tossed me over the side into the deepest part of the lake. And just before he'd thrown me in, he'd popped two water skis in the water. And he put his hands on his hips, and he looked down at me, and he said, you can learn to ski, or you can swim back to shore. I could barely see the shore. Now, you know, that seems way harsh. But he believed in me before I believed in myself. My daddy believed in me before I believed in myself. Listen to that again. My daddy believed in me before I believed in myself. And you know what? I slapped on those skis because not drowning is a very strong motivation to cast aside your fears and do the impossible. And you know what? As soon as that motor started and I obeyed my father's instructions, I came up like a champ. It's like I've been doing it all my life. I was a natural. And you know what? That's life. We get thrown in the middle of the lake a lot of times, but our daddy knows we can come through it even before we believe it ourselves. And the great thing is we never jump in the water alone. We always have Jesus. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And as a bonus, amidst all the craziness of 2019, we had that beautiful OHOM conference that turned out to be one of the sweetest Bible conferences I've ever had the privilege to be involved in. Man, it was just sweet. Homothumadon, it was heavenly, exceptional, unifying, healing. Just ask anybody who was there. And if you were, you know what I'm talking about. So here's the deal. 2019, Queen Elizabeth said one year when Diana left or whatever was annus horribilis, a horrible year. It was annus horribilis, but it was also annus glorious. It was also a glorious year because of the lessons, the maturity, the new habits, the good habits I formed of pressing into God. And my beautiful friend Sue Keeper sent me the best meme at the beginning of the year. It's a lioness, a beautiful lioness walking. And across the meme it says, 2019, thanks for the lessons. 2020, let's do this. Roar! That's what I think of. Let's do this. Let it out. Roar! We are walking with the one who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. That's who we're going through life with. Yes, there's a time for letting go, a time for moving on. But we move from strength to strength. We move from strength to strength. And every time we get through one of these rough patches, these new things, we're stronger than we ever were before. And you say, well, Peg, why are you, here you go, putting your dirty laundry out there again. You know what, people, for good or for bad, I'm never going to be that pastor who tells you everything is sunshine and lollipops. Or that I've got it all together. I don't. Life is a wrestling match. Sometimes we have to make hard choices. But I'm never going to be a hypocrite and not admit to my own human frailties. Last year was a year that in the natural world looked like I was going to get my rear end kicked, and it was my Rocky time to be a battered pulp. But like Rocky, the Lord Jesus brought me back, won the match, and I'm not ashamed of my failures. I'm simply human. And as a person who has the same problems you do, the answer is always God. Life is hard. My life is hard. Your life is hard. So learn how to fight and be strong in the Lord. My friend Judy Dexter says, life is hard. Get a helmet. But having said that, on the flip side, you know what? Life with Father is also beautiful. It's fun. Life with Father is joyful, loving, invigorating, and so much more. Folks, life is never all bad or all good. It's constantly changing. So be ready to adapt. Psalm 107 says that God makes the storm calm and the waves thereof are still. And then we are glad because we become quiet in our soul and he brings us to our desired haven. So what's the foundation to withstand any storm? I'll go through these quickly because you know them. You know, a noble and godlike character doesn't happen by chance, but it's by habitually thinking right thoughts, forming right habits,